Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody?
The
way God loves somebody.
Yeah.
It's an option.
That's right.
How to do it.
But someone tried to tell me a year ago, hey, you got about 20 minutes. I'll show you how to change the top. I'll show you how to, you know, jack the car. I'll show you how to do this. But if I don't have time for it, it can't be that hard, dog. I ain't going to do that bad. If I get the time, I'm sure I can figure it out. And you on the side of the road an hour later, still trying to get the top. I've seen this happen so many times that people will actually jack the car up before they loosen the lug nuts. Well, you mean you need to loosen the lug nuts up before you jack the car? Yeah, you got to loosen the lug nuts up just a little bit before you jack the car up, because if the lug nuts are tight, it's causing air every time you turn, the wheel's going to keep. I've seen it happen so many times. Well, people have that size. All right, I got it jacked up. But I can't get the lug nuts up because the tire is not stationary. So when the weight of the car is on the tire stationary, then you loosen them up. Don't take them all the way. Loosen them up. Then you jack the car up. And then the lug nuts come off, the tire back on. The tire back on, the lug nuts down. Ease the car down, it's tight. Yeah. But if no one has given you that knowledge and instruction, you'll be out there out in the middle of nowhere trying to figure out how to change the tire. And that's not who God is. That's not who God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be ignorant, like the phrase this morning. He doesn't want us to not know how to rightly divide the word of truth. So that's why he gives us wisdom, gives us knowledge. And that's 12 chapter, verse 1, says, but he that hated roots. In other words, this is a stupid person. And people don't like to be thought stupid. But if you don't want to learn instruction and knowledge, you will remain stupid, become unskilled. And a lot of times I try to tell young guys in school that don't like to go to school. It's like they want to hang out with friends. They want, you know, be out of school and everything. But there's a teacher in there trying to teach you how to add, track, write, do business, do accounting. And most of the time in the United States, it's free. And they're trying to give you a free education to better yourself. But if you don't want to get up and do what your responsibility is, go get that education. And what happens is then you retain ignorance. And so now everybody else that got it and knows it, they're going on past you. You stuck in the 10th, 11th grade, and everybody else that was behind you, they retained you and passed you. You still trying to graduate because you didn't want to get that instruction. You didn't want to get that knowledge. So that's why the Bible says, but he that hated for roots. That word rooters means soup. Wow. Nobody wants to be called stupid. But the Bible talks about someone that doesn't like instruction to be rootish or stupid because it's only for your own good. And so when we learn that somebody's always going to tell me something, and a lot of times when somebody's telling me something for my own good, then we should love that kind of instruction. We should love that someone says, hey, when we get out there next car and you have a flat tire, come with me, let's check this thing out. So when it does happen, you won't be stranded on the side of the road not knowing how to do it, or even worse, get hurt trying to do it. And so we should love that type of instruction, because getting something that will help. I would just put some callers. I haven't seen anybody calling yet. Brother Jamal is in the sanctuary studio with me right now. You want to ask him what he was thinking?
Okay, I agree, because if you think you know everything, then that's not helping you out. You can't take time to have another person that's wiser than you show you how to do it because they have experience in it. Then it is what it is.
Yeah, and earlier today, he came in and said he's having problems with the water coming to his basement. And so me, who had prior knowledge with water coming to my basement, and my father had prior knowledge of water coming to his basement, so he passed that on to me. And so what I want to do today is pass on to Jamal, you know, some of the things that could possibly prevent the water from coming in his basement. Now, he could have told me, nah, that's all right. I ain't, you know, we just going to, you know, keep soaking the water up. But sat him down, showed him some stuff, showed him some drawings, showed him some ideas of what to go on. And so now he has the knowledge to be able to address the issue and possibly resolve the issue. And, but he didn't just blow me off the air, back it up. But he took the instructions. He saw me draw something down. He saw the device that I was telling him about on the outlet. He understood the conversation. He took time out to really understand that. And that's what the Bible is trying to teach. Look, people have been down this road before. There's a the best way to do it, and then there's a worst way to do it. And so, this is the whole thing about instruction. We need to understand that we have to get instructions, because that's what the 12th chapter verse 1 says, is that we need to get that instruction. And then if you go to second verse, it says, a good man obtaining favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices, he condemned. In other words, when you learn and you know about God, and you really understand who God is, what happens is you begin to want to please God. You want to have a relationship with God. When you desire to have a relationship with God, then you obtain favor with the Lord. It means that the Lord is looking out for you. And I don't know about you, but it's a blessing to be able to have favor with God. But if you're a fool, then you suffer the wrath of God. And that's not what God wants. God wants you to have favor with him. God wants you to be in a relationship where he can say, hey, this is a person that's looking out for me. This is a person that's seeking me. And because this person is looking out and seeking me, then I can definitely get in a position where I'll bless them and I'll show favor. But if they're not seeking me, they're not, you know, looking out for me, they're not taking the time out to try to learn my ways, and God said, you're going to end up with this problem. You're going to end up being condemned because you didn't seek me out. And that's not a good thing. That's not a blessed thing that God wants us to be part of. And we want to make sure that we are in that mode that we can say, hey, I want favor with God, and I want to make sure that I keep this favor with God by seeking him out and doing it his way instead of ignoring God and pretending I can do things on my own. All right, we were trying to get an earlier caller on the line. I don't know if they were able to get in. We're going to dial that number, Brother Jordan. If I can get him back on, he can tune in with the.
Hello?
Brother Jordan, it's Pastor Kason.
Pastor, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. I saw you had tried to call in earlier. I just wanted to try to get back with you.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah. So we're in the Book of Proverbs, the 12th chapter. If you got a second,
I got enough time.
We're talking about instructions. The instructions were how they would benefit and they would give us knowledge. But in the 12th chapter, verse 1, it says that if you don't like knowledge, then by not liking that knowledge, then God calls you unwise. And we use the word brutish, and the word brutish means stupid. So people have who want instruction can become wise, but people who don't want instruction become brutish. So what do you think about that statement?
I think that's a well-justified statement, because people who want knowledge, people who yearn for knowledge, you know, want a better life for themselves. And the ones who don't want knowledge, they have to let experience in life teach it to them, you know, the hard way, you know. So I feel like that's, you know, that statement is very, you know, truthful, you know. So, you know.
How important is getting instruction? How important do you think that is?
I think it's important because not only you learn the word of God, but it also makes your life a lot better. You know, now I wouldn't say easy because having an easy life, you know, everybody would be doing if it was for an easy life, but the ones who, you know, who yearn for instruction, you know, can endure a strong life, you know, it makes them stronger, you know, mentally and spiritually and physically, you know, so, you know, whenever life tries to knock you down, basically what I'm trying to say is it'll make it a lot harder for you to be knocked down, you know, during struggling life, you know, that's what I think, you know, because the ones who don't want instruction, they're only making life harder for themselves, and the struggle will be a lot tougher for them, you know.
Right, right. When we look at this next verse, it says verse 3, it says, "A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of righteousness shall not be moved." So basically what it's saying is that, you know, the wickedness of the world is not going to stand, but the righteousness of God can't be moved. Basically what it's telling us is that if you get into the word of God, and we stand on the word of God, there may be some ups and some downs, but ultimately the word of God is what's going to prove out to be the best for us. Whereas the things of the world is going to prove out that it can't stand. It's only temporary. And so the word of God and righteousness of God is permanent, but the wickedness of man and the advance of man is just temporary. And so we have to learn that, because sometimes we're tempted to do the things of the world that look right now, looks good, looks fine, looks appealing, compared to the slow and the steady things of God. But eventually when the winds and the waves blow, the things of the world are going to blow away, but the things of God will stand. And that's so important for us as men, is to understand that, you know, if we get rooted and grounded in God, it might not always look like it's going to be the best thing. But when trials and tribulations and struggles come, then we'll know that we can stand. Brother Jordan?
I believe that is also true because, you know, I've been going through that ever since I put my faith in God, you know what I'm saying? So it was like everything that, you know, ever since I have peace with my spirituality, you know what I'm saying, you know, I learned to take the burdens a lot better, you know, because like you said, it's temporary. Like I told you myself, you got to take the burden with the blessing, you know,
yeah.
Not backwards, not the blessing first, then with the burden afterwards. No, it's really the burden, then the blessing, because you know, like in life, if you want something bad enough, you know, you have to go through the burden first in order to get the blessing. And if you really want it that bad, you gotta work and have faith in God that things will be all right. You know what I'm saying? So.
Amen.
So it's very true and it's very beautiful.
If we go down to verse 4 in this 12th chapter of Proverbs, it talks about a virtuous woman. It says a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. So when this talking about a virtuous woman, a woman that is blessed and uses her gifts and is respectful and mindful of her household and of her children and of her husband, that's like a crown to her husband. In other words, he's like a king. And when a man finds a woman like that, he's like a king, because he knows that he's taken care of, his children are taken care of, his household's taken care of, and she's a blessing to him. So when the Bible says a virtuous woman is like a crown to her husband, that is what every man is looking for. He's looking for a virtuous woman who can be his crown, that he can show her off, that he can be proud of her and say, hey, this is my virtuous woman. This is the woman that God has blessed me with.
But on the flip side of that, he says, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. So if he gets to a point where she's all about herself, she's not about him, she's not about the kids, she's not about her house, she's not about God, what happens is then that's like rottenness in his bones. It's like it's killing him. It's destroying him. It's not bringing him light. But when you have a virtuous woman who's about God, who's about her husband, who's about her family, who's about her children, that is the woman that is like a crown to him. But a lot of times, some guys, you know, that's why we study the book of Proverbs. Sometimes we look at the beauty on the outside. Man, she's beautiful on the outside. But on the inside, she's not about God. She's not about her husband. She's not about her children. She's not about her household. And so that beauty becomes ugly because and it is really deceiving because she's really not a virtuous woman toward God. Brother Jewett?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, people tend to go after what they lust and what they want instead of the things they need. You know what I'm saying? You know, people always want the best-looking female to look good around mm-hmm. or to impress their friends or their peers or mm-hmm. even the public for that matter. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Sometimes, even, you know, the least beautiful-looking woman or the woman who don't do as much stuff as the good-looking one or the one who's good for your mm-hmm. lust, you know, don't mm-hmm. have to do everything, you know. Sometimes, you know, she could, like you said, lift your spirits up, build you, you know, as a person, you know,
right.
you know, put faith in your mind, you know. I wrote, it's funny that you say that because I wrote a status on Facebook about this. A woman who can speak some sense into her man instead of some mm-hmm. nonsense is a keeper, you know. And that's the type of woman. And that's the type of woman you want. That's the type of woman you want. If a woman who can speak
yeah.
some sense into her man instead of some nonsense is a keeper.
That's
you know?
Good. I like that. That's we call that a Jordan proverb.
You know what I'm saying? You know,
yeah.
you know, because when you know if a woman can really speak a lot into a man, she's the one for him. You know, because
mm-hmm.
you know, like
mm-hmm.
they say, the woman is all mental, and the man could be all. The man is all physical, you know.
Right.
The man is her strength, and the woman is his,
mm-hmm.
is his weakness. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's good. I like that. I like that Jordan proverb. I like that. I have to make sure I use that again. You hear that again? You know, I'll make sure I give you credit. Jordan proverb. But it's critical to us as men to get into this word and look at, you know, when we look at that verse 4, it's like, wow, if I don't pick the right woman, that's going to be like rottenness to my bones. I need to be careful who I pick. I need to be careful who I try to be my mate, because this thing can be detrimental to my health if I get the right wrong woman, someone that's not going to look out for me, not gonna, number one, look out for God, look out for me. Look out for my family and my children and my household. That's going to be an embarrassment to me.
Yeah, you know, a woman who can cause distraction to your goals, your life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, make you feel dead and empty inside. That ain't the woman you need for yourself. You know, no matter how much you love her or no matter how much,
yeah.
you know, she may, you know, you know, y'all may how long y'all may have been together. You know, sometimes you know, like
mm-hmm.
they say, all love isn't good love.
Right, right.
And sure everything that look
important.
And everything that look good ain't always good.
Uh oh. Well, sound like you ready to preach, huh? But it's so important for us to talk about these things because a lot of times you're out there on your own doing your own thing. You know, you think you're doing the right thing. Sometimes people on the outside, you know, the word of God can put you in check and say, hey, you know, you're going down the wrong path, man. You need to turn back around. Or you got someone that's in the word and say, hey, you know, just for your own good, this is what the word of God says. You know, you might want to follow this because it doesn't look like Shorty is tracking with this virtual woman thing. Look like she's playing you. Look like she's trying to get what she's trying to get, and that's it. Ain't thinking about you, God, or nothing else. And someone or the Word of God can school you on that or give you instructions on that. That will save you a lot of headache down the road.
It's funny that you say that because ever since, for these past few months, you know what I'm saying, it's funny because ever since I got, you know, because I asked God for peace with my life, you know, peaceful within my mind, body, and my soul, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So ever since I got that peace, you know, I get, you know, since I got in touch with my spirituality with Christ, I can see what can cause negativity or bad vibes from everybody. To me personally, when you are good with God, you can feel and you can see all the negative vibes from everybody who will disrupt your peace. You know, when you're a very good spiritual person, you can feel bad vibes from somebody just by looking at them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or you could just look at them. You know, it's very easy. You know, like they say, when you're in the cut, you see things. And you can tell. Like when you pay attention, all you gotta do is pay attention, and you know what to avoid and what not to avoid. You know.
Absolutely, you know? And it's so important, and that's why I love about the Word of God. The Word of God is not gonna change, and because it doesn't change, it can speak to my situation at whatever age I am, whether I'm a young guy, an older guy, whatever, middle-aged guy, and it doesn't change. And the thing about it, it always is true. It doesn't change, and it's always the truth. And so whatever I find I'm going through in my life, I can always go to the truth, and the Word of God will tell me. It won't sugarcoat it. It won't beat around the bush. It will give it to me raw. And as an old minister used to say, you can cook it up any way you want to.
The truth is always going to be the truth, regardless of how it's said or what it's shown. The truth is always going to be there.
Right. And, you know, that's what I love about the Word of God. And that's what I love about getting with men and sharing the Word of God, is because, you know, it keeps it real with all of us. You know, all of us are living this life, and it just keeps it real. And I think as men, that's what we need. We need a real word from God to share with each other, and you know, that's our root and that's our foundation. Say, hey, bro, you know, I understand you're doing a lot of things, but you know, this is what the Word of God says. Let's get the word, and I think we develop a fellowship and a relationship that way around the Word of God as men. But George,
yes, sir. I believe you're right about that, because in this day and age, people rather listen to what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear, whether it will affect their feelings or not. The truth needs to be told, you know, and you're right. You know, we need to spread the Word of God, especially to our good men, our fellow men, you know, who can lead not only the women but the younger generation, you know, so we can, in order for us to unify and just, you know, stay strong, because we're weakened when we're
mm-hmm.
spread and soloed out, but we're stronger when we're together. So I feel like you're absolutely right about that.
I know that's right. And I wonder, and I'm just going to touch base on this before we close. I wonder if the guy that's having so many problems with women saying he drugged them and had sexual relations against their will, Bill Cosby, I wonder if he had someone like a spiritual advisor, or if he had men around him that said, look, Bill, you know, this ain't right. You know, if he's done it, I'm not saying he did it, but if he did it, you know, saying that, you know, this ain't right, Bill. You know, you're embarrassing your wife. You know, you're saying one thing, saying another thing. Just wonder if he had anybody around him in the church that got with him in a men's group and said, look, man, you know, you married, you out here supposed to be setting an example to all these people in the world. Awesome opportunity, but you have this fault and this thing that you like to do with drugs and women. And if someone ever, I always wonder if someone ever called him on the carpet and said, hey, you know, this is not the way to do it. You're not doing good for your family. You're not doing good for God. You're not doing good for these young women. You know, if that's what you're doing, you need to stop. But George?
Yes, sir. I've been hearing so much about what happened with Bill Cosby. You know what I'm saying? Maybe, you know, like you said, it's a possibility. Maybe something happened to him. Maybe something happened.
Mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. but either way, somewhere in his mind, if he did, he mm-hmm. felt like, you know, he didn't care, you know, he didn't, you know, mm-hmm. I guess it has, you know, some, you never know what he'd been through early in his life. Sometimes he probably mm-hmm. felt some certain way about female, a woman, and, you know, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, disrespecting his wife, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's all, I guess you can say it's all how, what he's been brought up by or what he's yeah. been through, you know what I'm saying? So you can't always judge somebody.
No, you can't.
You know, based because, you know, you never know what they've been through. You never really know what their true story is. Like, for example, you know, if a man cheats on a woman, mm-hmm. she basically lets that one bad apple spoil the rest, you know. You know, mm-hmm. people tend to act like that. So, you know, he might have been cheated on in the past, or his wife yeah. probably cheated on him because, you know.
Right, right.
You know, so.
But I just, you know, I was wondering if someone got with him and told him, hey, you might have been cheated on in the past, but this is not the way to go. You know, just
yeah, probably every, you know, because, you know, everybody has that somebody to try to hold him back and keep, you know what they say, when you about to, when you know, when you walking blind, you about to fall off the cliff, mm-hmm. somebody tried to stop him from walking, somebody tried to hold mm-hmm. him back, so, you know, mm-hmm. everybody mm-hmm. has that somebody to hold him back. Not everybody's completely yeah. alone, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You
know, well, it's been a good lively conversation, but I think it's good for us to continue these conversations, but we're going to have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, that we thank you for this first word, God. We thank you for the word that allowed us to get together, God, and things with men. And Father, we pray that you would continue to let us to discuss and to talk and to help each other. It's truly iron sharpens iron. And God, we pray that through this process that we will become better men of God and that we will ultimately become better leaders, better fathers, better men in our communities. And that all of it will be done to your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, do us for the first word. Prayerfully, we'll see you or hear from you on next Sunday. Until then, be blessed and pray you have an awesome worship experience today. God bless.
God bless.